As we open our Sunday school time, you might want to turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews and chapter 5. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you very much. Thank you for thy word, for thyself, thy presence, all that you have in mind. God, may we have ears to hear and hearts to follow. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Now study the book of Hebrews. Remember, God's a wonderful Savior. He has died on the cross. And the book of Hebrews is written to encourage the believing heart to grow, to mature, to develop. And that's what has to happen. Because it's a wonderful thing to have a Savior and you say, thank you for saving me. Now, how is the saving going to work in a practical way? We have an old nature, and therefore that makes it difficult because we aren't in heaven. We don't go to heaven where everything's okie-dokie. We don't go. We're here with the old nature. And therefore being saved is one thing. Enjoying being saved is another. And that requires an understanding of God's saving grace, his priesthood. And that's what the book of Hebrews is about, taking the Old Testament and bringing it into focus about our Lord and Savior. So therefore remember remember the Old Testament priest, he had to pay his own sin, Day of Atonement, and then he had to go and pay the penalty, sacrifice, for the sin of the people. So always the first, and that's in Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 3. And by reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. He had to take care of it. Now, so having said that situation, our Lord Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God who died on the cross. And so therefore, the book of Hebrews is about that relationship. He is the high priest. And we shared that chapter 2, verse 17, went through the verses a little bit to remind ourselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than angels, chapter 1. He's greater than Moses, chapter 3. And he has a wonderful, wonderful plan to be outworked, chapter 4. In his rest, we're to exercise and enjoy his wonderful benefits. Chapter 4, look at that one. Chapter 4, verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased, stopped, terminated from his own works, as God did from his on the Day of Atonement in the seventh day. He rested on the seventh day. And there's a wonderful rest. Now you can't enjoy that rest. You can't enjoy those benefits without some God, because we still got our old nature. God has to go. Having saved us, he's got to cover for us and help us to be able to enjoy and enter into his wonderful rest. So in chapter 5, we have the great high priest. He's qualified to be the high priest. He meets all the qualifications. So that's what we did in chapter 5 so far. And looking at it, because the Jews would want to know, what do the Jews remember what we did? The Lord God, when Israel exited out of the land of Egypt in Exodus 19, he gave them the wonderful, wonderful privilege of entering into the being his people, his chosen, his priest, to be a nation of priests, a kingdom of priests. And they were to have that. They never did that. So therefore, Aaron is chosen, brother of Moses. Aaron is chosen to be the priest in the priesthood. Since they aren't, so God appointed them, Aaron. So now, having said that, Aaron being the high priest and doing what he does and all of that. So now, having said that, keeping in mind our Lord is going to go in his wonderful grace and do what he does. Now, and it's his grace of God, the grace of God, grace, G-R-A-C-E. Grace means God does 1,000%. It's totally, man is totally absent. You'll pick it up in the morning a little bit. Man is totally absent, so it's all of God. God caring, God loving, God giving himself for his highest end, which is his own glory. Now, having said that, then we know that's a gift of God. And if you want to take that part of it over, if you can, over to, you know, Romans 6:23, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, to tie that so you see it, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Go to, just to lock it in, Romans chapter 5. And here's a whole section God gives. And in Romans chapter 5, picking up please, in verse 15, you'll catch it, the beginning, middle of it. But, verse 15, chapter 5, Romans. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, we're all dead. Go back up to verse 12 now. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So that's why we understand that we're born spiritually dead. Back down to verse 15. I'll start again. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the, and then underline the little phrase, gift of grace. Grace is a gift. Christ dying on the cross, that's God's gift. God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. He gave, it's a gift, So therefore, so you have it in your mind, grace, God giving himself, is a gift. So where do we get grace? We get it from God in Christ, and it's a gift. Because Christ is the gift, and he brings to us the grace of God. He is the grace of God. So having said that and keeping that in mind, over, and one other thing that will help us, over to Peter. Oh, you aren't far away. 1 Peter, and remind ourselves, Christ is our wonderful, wonderful Savior and our High Priest. That means he is able to go and represent us humans, because that's what you have chapter 5. He's perfectly human, having all and everything that ever could be to a human apart from sin. And so he suffered, he understands our infirmities, our weaknesses, our failures, our faults, our fumblings, he understands it all. And Christ can thus bring us to God, understanding he's bringing us to God, which is what a priesthood does. And he brings us to God as God. Christ is God. So he satisfies the holiness of God. He satisfies the sinfulness of man. And he brings them together. Atonement. He brings them together. Brings them together. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, here we are believers. So that's important. 1 Peter chapter 2, going if I can to verse 5. Ye also, as lively living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by or through Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. So we're God, the Lord Jesus Christ, book of Hebrews is what? You have a unique relationship to God. He's your high priest. In his high priesthood, he is the high priest, the church, which is his body, enjoys the same priesthood because the head is a king, the body enjoys being a king. The head's the doctor, the body enjoys being the doctor. The head is our Savior, and the body enjoys being saved in a most wonderful way. Now, so therefore, with spiritual and holy priesthood, and do it again, verse 9. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar, special, prized, privileged people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we have a unique relationship to God. How are we going to exercise that relationship? The book of Hebrews, 13 chapters, to get you to grow, to understand your function as a believer, not just to be saved and someday go to heaven, to function as a believer. And therefore, our royal, wonderful priesthood. And if you want to lock it in even more, go to Revelation chapter 1. And you will note, please. And in Revelation chapter 1, you would recall, in light of the context, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and, verse 6, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's made us. So the head, Christ is the head. The church has a unique, the believers in this age of grace have a unique relationship to God, the body. So the head, so the body, whatever. And he's the priest, he's the king. The body enjoys being kings and priests. Now, having said that, little bit, so therefore, the book of Hebrews is trying to get the believers to awaken to the fact, to show their wonderful relationship to God as priests, as kings, as priests in particular. Now, so therefore, we're to exercise that awesome relationship we're to have, Hebrews chapter 5. And to exercise that relationship to God. And in exercising that relationship to God, now, when we come to chapter 5, picking up in verse 11, all the way to over to chapter 6 and verse 12, is a warning. That this, every little bit, there's a warning. God drives home, brings home his point that you need to understand and heed and hear and heed. And then he tells you, you better do it. You better do it. He warns you. To warn you again and warn you again. Don't be indifferent to this. Now, that relationship. Now, so, Hebrews chapter 5, you'll remember we shared together. We shared together in chapter 5, all the way down verse 8, our Lord's qualifications, though he were for his, in the light of his perfect humanity. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned obedience. The word obedience from the verb to hear. Hearing with the ear, to be an ear witness. Hearing, hearing. Hang on to that. He learned obedience, to hear, and thus hearing, you know what to do, then do it. By the things which he suffered, and he did. He was, think of Hebrews, Philippians 2 and verse 6 and that, where he was obedient, there's your little word, obedient, even unto the death of the cross. How far was his, how he heard God's will was to go to the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He heard it. It was his assignment, and he went and did it. He was obedient. Therefore, verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation, to be able to be saved unto all them that obey him. There's your same verb, obey him. And we should start that a little bit to do it, because we need to understand obey. You don't want to think of obey as someone says, everyone jump, jump, and that's obey, to jump. But it isn't, it's a wonderful word. Because it's the word to hear with the ear, to give ear witness. That is true for the Hebrew word. It is true here for the Greek word. To hear, to be a listening, the result of which is going to produce what? Do you know what to do? If you go to Jones's sweatshop, and you go to work, and what do you need to do? You need to be told what functions do you need to do. And you do them, and you learn how to do them so that you be a good employee and get your pay. And you do it, because you heard, and then you followed through with doing, follow the instructions that you heard, obey. And you do that, and you reap the benefits. God gives us the hearing. Faith cometh, Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got God's word. We hear what he says. Now, are you hearing it? Remember, over and over again, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Are we hearing it? We hear it. Then do it. Did you get the instructions? Believe, etc., etc., then do it. Now, having said that, obey. So then take a moment in the light of that and just add a little more that we did, just since that's important, because I want to obey. I want to hear. I want to obey. Hearing, I want to, and listening, I want to be a good ear witness and do what I'm supposed to do. I follow the instructions. That's what I do. Romans chapter 5 again. And in Romans chapter 5, we did obey. I'm just doing it again a little differently. Why? Because you need to understand. When you say believing, what am I doing? I'm believing is an active verb. You're resting down. You're actually sitting in the pew. You aren't thinking about sitting in the pew. You aren't hoping the pew will be a pew. You're letting the pew be the support, and you are sitting on it. That's what you're doing. That's for real, active. You're benefiting every single second you're believing. you're enjoying being supported in the seat. Every single second you sit there. That's what you do. Now, so here's Romans chapter 5. And picking up in the middle of all of that wonderful context, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, that's Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. He said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they heard that, but they didn't do it. They didn't obey. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for the sin of the world. He was obedient unto death, Philippians 4 and verse 6, etc. Now, so therefore, by one, the end of verse 19, by one many shall be made righteous, chapter 6. And if I can, verse 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants, to obey. His servants you are to whom you obey, whoever you're listening to. Radio, television, people, persons, places, what difference? Whoever you're listening to, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, one or the other, you're listening. What's the result? Obedience. Verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed. You heard and followed through and obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. You believed with all your heart. So therefore, verse 26, chapter 16 and verse 26. I don't want to read them so fast you don't think about them, but obey. That's what they had to do. Chapter 16, and picking up, please. In verse 19, as you come to this is the same as in the opening of the book of Romans, at the close, opening the same, close the same. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. I'm so glad for your obedience. Now, knowing, therefore, they believed, and therefore how much, who else is supposed to believe? Verse 26. For now is made manifest, 26, and by the scriptures, God's word, and of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations. For what purpose? For the obedience of faith. God's word, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the whole world is supposed to be paying attention to what God has done, God has said, and they're to believe. Obedience. What are we going to do? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Obedience of faith. Did you hear? Then believe. I hear, I believe. Simple. I hear, I believe. I get saved. Wow, it's a wonderful thing. So negatively, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. You'll see it on the negative side if you don't believe. 2 Thessalonians. And chapter 1, and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They aren't obeying. They aren't hearing. They aren't believing. They don't want to hear. They don't want to believe. Faith cometh by hearing. They don't want to know. They don't want to believe. So therefore, having said that, and over to 1 Peter. And you'll know again, easy, simple things to remember to see. 1 Peter, what are you going to how are you going to help us? Verse chapter 4. And picking up if I can, I'll read verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For, verse 17, the time is going to come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it's first if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? If we're hardly saved, go with me now, see, you'll see it. Verse 18, for if, and if, first class, if, and it's true, if the rights, or if, or since it's first class, if or since the righteous scarcely, hardly, word scarcely, hardly, with difficulty, from a human standpoint, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So it's a very sobering thing, wonderful thing, to help. Why didn't you hear? You knew the instructions. You lost your job. Why'd you lose your job? You didn't hear, you didn't follow the instructions. I told you what you had to do. You didn't want to do it that way. You didn't hear it. If you heard, you would have had your job. You would have had your job, but you didn't want to hear. They don't have the job. Pretty easy. They don't want to hear. So therefore, they don't get saved in an awesome, awesome way. So God, here in his all of his awesome authority and all that he does, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So having said all these things, back over to Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 5, so when you read the word obey, you're going to have a little better sense of it. So it's a wonderful word. Here, how am I going to know what to do if you don't? What? Tell me. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. Right? Wouldn't you want to know that? What am I supposed to do, Doc? Whatever it is. Tell me what I'm supposed to do. And you hear and you do it and you benefit. So Hebrews chapter 5, in the light of that. Now, who are we obeying? Who are we listening to? Verse 10, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And now he said, listen, do you understand? He's not of the line of Aaron, what you had earlier. He's not of the line of Aaron. In verse 4, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God as one Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother. He was a human, regular, old nature, just like all the rest of us. And Adam, but he is not of the line of Aaron. But Aaron was the priesthood. Aaron was the Israeli, that was the key to their relationship to God. He was their priest by way of Aaron. Wow. But he's not Aaron. He's Melchizedek. Therefore, chapter 14 of Genesis. Genesis in chapter 14. And remember, Abraham goes and rescues Lot with his 300 and something men, over five kings. That's always pretty good. And he rescues Lot and his family, and they get rescued. And coming back, he stops in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, I'll pick it up if I can, in verse 18. And Melchizedek, 14:18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, Salem is the old word for Jerusalem. Salem, Jerusalem. And Melchizedek, king of Salem or Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine. He's the king. Melchizedek is the king. He brings forth to Abraham. He brings forth to Abraham. He brings forth bread and wine. He's the king. He's also the priest. The Lord, think of Hebrews 5, verse 10. He is of the line order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is king and priest. And in king and priest, so what Melchizedek, looking ahead, he brings, what does he bring to Abraham? Bread and wine. Christ, think of communion, bread and the cup. He's going to bring that which God provides, because he is representing Melchizedek. We have nothing to do. We don't know anything about him. He has no beginning. He has no end. We know nothing except he was king, and he offered to Abraham bread and wine. He offered him the wonderful benefits of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, his body and blood. He offered it to Abraham. Because Abraham just had an awesome victory. Therefore, if I can, in verse 18, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. He's king and priest. And he blessed, since he was king and priest, he blessed him. That's the priesthood could do that. And blessed him. And blessed be Abraham, since Abraham is blessed by the king and priest. Are you blessed? When God blesses you, are you blessed? Now, I could say blessings, you know. Blessings on you. I don't have any to give you. See, I can't. I give you from nothing, give you nothing. That's all I got. What am I going to give you? What are you going to give me? Nothing. See, nothing. But when God does it, So Abraham received blessing. And verse 19 again, and blessed him, and blessed Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed, verse 20, be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Wow. He's going to offer. He's looking to Melchizedek. Now, what's the type? The Lord, it is you aren't of the line of Aaron in the Old Testament. Then what line are you with? I'm the line of Melchizedek. I'm like Melchizedek. I have no beginning and no end as God. And I'm going to go to the cross and die, my body and blood. I'm going to do that. I am at once King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am at once the High Priest. And I can bless you. So he's of the line of Melchizedek, and you already know with what Abraham benefited. Let's take the benefit. And Abraham, verse 22, and Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. So Abraham's counting and looking to God, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, king of Sodom, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich. Save only that which for the men, they get their bounty, they get their pay for what they did. But Abram took none of it at all. Therefore, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. Now, did he take? He could have been one. He was wealthy to begin with. He was rich to begin with. He could have been richer, 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 and richer. He didn't, nothing doing. Fear not, Abraham. Verse 1, chapter 15. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am your wealth and I am your riches. I'm the one that blesses you. Wow. Now you got it? Now, Lord, what are we supposed to know about you? You're the great high priest. Like whom, God? Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek. I got it. Now, slide back over to Hebrews. And if we can, Hebrews, where are you? Hebrews chapter 5. And may I pick up, please, in verse 11. Hebrews 5, 11. Now, having called, now here's your warning. This begins the warning section. Chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom Christ, after the order of Melchizedek, the high priest, of whom we have many things to say. It's an awesome, wonderful subject. God, our high priest in Christ Jesus. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, difficult, hard, not easy, not easy. They're difficult. They are. Why are they difficult or hard? Why are they difficult? Hard. Why? Okay. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard, difficult to be uttered, because Melchizedek is such a deep subject. No. Melchizedek isn't a deep subject. It's a wonderful subject. The problem is you don't have ears to hear. Obey. You're dull. What's the end of it? You're dull of hearing. You don't hear. You don't obey. You don't follow instructions. You don't have the benefit. If you follow the instructions, it comes out right. And I don't have all of those electronic things, but I know that if you push certain buttons, it works. And if you push other buttons, it won't work. So here's your smartphones or whatever they are, things you got, and they got thousands of pictures and everything. I don't know how you do them. I couldn't live long enough to remember all the pictures, you know. Wow. So what are we going to do? Well, we go and we push the buttons. If you push the wrong buttons, it won't work. It won't work at all. It won't work. You push the button, push, and it won't work. You got to follow the instructions. You push the wrong button, it won't work. Even in simple adding on your computer or whatever, on the phone number, push the wrong number on the phone. Push the wrong number, it won't work. You got to do it, follow instructions. Do what it says. That's how you get there. You got to do what it says. But no, we don't. Yes, you do. But I don't want to. I don't want to fix my job, my life, my family, my friends, my whatever you want to do. I'm going to fix it the way I want. Then that's what you do. You got the wrong buttons. And it doesn't come out. You want to be blessed. So you push the right buttons. You read and get what God tells you to do. And you follow the recipes. Follow the recipes and it will work. Don't follow the recipes, it won't work. No, doesn't big deal. Just don't do it. Say, well, I don't do you enjoy being saved? No, I don't think about being saved. And as the pressure develops and keeps developing in our world, in our country, etc., it'll be harder. It'll expose where people are. Wow. Now, so here we are looking. And so therefore, verse 11, of whom many things we have to say, but hard, difficult to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Dull, you're dull, slothful. You're dull. And in the process, you can't explain. Can you explain why you aren't hearing? No, I don't, because that's because you aren't hearing. How can you explain something you don't understand? So we're dull. We just didn't pay attention to the explanation, and therefore we're dull of hearing, as it were. Dull, and that means perfect tense. You are dull. You stay dull. Dull. And the word dull has to do with being slow, sluggish, lazy, slow, sluggish, lazy. And you'll see it over in chapter 6 and verse 12, the same word. Chapter 6 and verse 12. That you be not slothful, there's the word dull, slow, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So they're dull. They're dull of hearing. So if you don't hear, then of course you don't have any benefits. You don't have any benefits at all. So therefore, in verse 12, for the time you ought to be teachers, you ought to have an understanding. Now, to see that, this teaching, the gift of teaching spiritually and all that, all of those wonderful things. But just teaching, to be able to be a teacher. Now, when you were 3 years old, you were just being exercised in our world, our industrial society, and you're being exercised. And you become 10 years old, and then you become 20 years old, and then you become 30 years old, 40 years old. Haven't you learned? Here's a kid 10 years old, and here you are 40 years old. Couldn't you help that kid understand something? I mean, you've got 30 years ahead of him. 30 years, you should have understood. That's what's wonderful about old people. They can tell you how not to do it. That's what's wonderful. They already know. Don't do it that way. It won't work. Oh, it'll work. No, it won't. It worked for no one else for all of these centuries. It ain't going to work for you. So please learn something. And don't do it that way. Wow. So here we are looking, and in the dull of hearing, you ought to be teachers. So when did that? Everyone should learn something called maturity. That's what there are. We could, can we not grow up and adults, be adults, like in Ephesians 4? We grow up and we become older, but we're still younger. We never grew up. Do you ever hear that of people? They never grew up. They're living in the past. They just never had to adjust. They keep living the old way. And they never grew to develop, to change, not only humanly, but spiritually. So, here they're dull of hearing, and they ought to be teachers. They ought to be teachers. And in the process, they're slow of understanding and of hearing and of growing. They just don't hear. And the reason all of it is because they're dull of hearing. And their comprehension is not what it should be. They're lazy. People lazy. I don't want to think about that. That's lazy. I don't want to do that. I'm tired, I'm busy, I'm something else. And so we don't do it. So therefore you have need, therefore, verse 12, you have need, since that's true, that one teach you again. So you're going to go and go over again. And that's how you learn, isn't it? That's how you learn multiplication, alphabet, or anything. And you learn it. And you have to keep doing it. I don't know how they do things now. I assume it's the same. Multiplication, you memorized. Remember, each table, one through 1,000, whatever you do. And you go through the thing. And you memorize, so you have it. And you memorize the alphabet. And because you keep using it and doing it, and you remember it, and it's because you, by using of use, You have to exercise it. That's how you learn it. When you don't exercise it, so I'm going to give you so you'll be encouraged, maybe. I think of all the things. I think of back my little bit back here yesterday. And I have no idea how I ever did whatever I did. But I did it. Now I have to look up how much is 3 times 3. See? Well, that's good. You see, man, I could go long past that. But you know, it disappeared. Why? Because you didn't what? Use it. I don't need to use the formulas. I don't need to do the mechanics that keeps it fresh. I have to use it. And the same with words. We use the words. It is said a few years ago, I have no idea what it is now, the average person used 600 words. The average person. I don't know what it is today with a computer, but back then, 600 words was the average. Now, so here we are, and God, by reason of use, we have one teach us again. We have to go and relearn it. Relearn it. Rethink it. Redo it. Because we lost it. And we need to refresh our mind. We need to restore that which we have forgotten. And we have need to teach us again and again and again. Once more, you have need to learn it again. Did you learn that? Have you ever done that with your own self? You trust God, you have the recipe in front of you, and you're going to believe Him? Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer and supplication, make requests. I'm going to do that, just like God says. And the peace of God which passes understanding, verse 7, I'm going to do that. And then you don't do it for a long time, or whatever reason, however, and you forget. And you've got to go back and read it again. Reread the recipe again. Redo it. Because you have to do it. God, teach us again. I want to do it. So we ought to be teachers. We ought to be developing. We ought to be able to share truth that we have learned about God's Word and God. It should be part of us. That's called maturity, growing. Be not children in malice. Be children in malice, but in knowledge be men. Corinthians. Now, having said that little bit, verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. You need milk, not strong meat. And so therefore, you have need of the liquid milk, and not strong meat, solid food, because you can't handle it. And why? And because it's like verse 13, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Why? For he's a baby. And babies aren't expected to eat steak or something. They aren't expected to eat that. They're expected to eat liquid milk, and that's understandable and it's right for them. But when they're 95, no, I won't say that. When they're 95, may need to go back to milk. When you're 40, if all you can do is have milk, that's not good. In fact, you probably would have never made it to 40 years old if you didn't have, you've got to have solid food. So believers need to get from being babies, get saved. You're newborn, that's a babe, children, newborn babes. Then newborn babes need milk. That's what they need. Over in Peter, hold your finger here. And you'll notice, please, First Peter, chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But, verse 25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Having unto you. Therefore, laying aside all malice and guile, hypocrisy, envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So there's nothing wrong with it. That's what you get. But you've got to have more than that. Do it a different way to sort of lose it, get it, quit. You have to understand. John 3:16 is an awesome introduction to get saved, to know the Lord as your Savior. You can't live off John 3:16. You'll never lose your life, your relationship to Christ. You can't. But you'll have no more knowledge. How can I intelligently practice what God is doing and why He's doing it in our world, etc., in my life, in your life, without knowledge? I've got to grow. I've got to develop. That's why we study like we try to. Study God's word to know what He is saying to us, God, and why are you saying it, so that we can practice it. I can be an adult. I don't have to be a child anymore. I want to be an adult. I used to say that to my father. Look for that one day in my whatever youth. My father and the older men, I loved to go to Chinatown when my dad would go through there for something. I loved to just sit and listen to the men, wise men. You can't beat listening to wise people. No, sir, you learn a lot. And then the process that, to grow, to become wise, to feed. And so therefore God, looking, we want to grow, we want to learn, we want to understand. And so therefore, God, we're going to go and look to you. And in the process, sincere milk, sincere, wonderful milk to drink it. And we ought to drink milk and drink milk till you're 50, whatever. Doesn't matter. Good for you. But we want to have meat. We want to grow. If I don't grow, I can't understand. I want to understand. That's what actually, parenthesis, personal, that's what drove me. I was raised in Methodist Church, all that stuff. As a little boy, never missed. Little kid, never missed. Snow or no snow. Did everything. But I wanted to know God, wanted to know. So, and then one day later, want to know and grow. And nothing. Where am I going to get it? Not from there. Who wants to know? And then one day, God was dear to my heart, reading the Bible on my knees, as I did, and doing all of that. And then I said, God, how come people don't tell us this stuff? And that's what drove me to here. So I want you to know. I don't care about your intellectual things. You need to understand. Do you understand what you're reading? Can you put it to work? What good is all of that whole wonderful thing? Truth about some book or some one word, Ezekiel, Hebrews, if you don't understand it and you can't use it, what good is it to you? You're dull of hearing. Not you guys, but got the idea. Anyway, I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome, wonderful thing God has made possible, and we want to exercise it in God's wonderful grace. Thank you.